that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. This, I'm in 1 John chapter 1. I started at verse 1. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If there's anything that communion is about, it's a time of cleansing, re-cleansing, rejuvenating Christians, the children of God. And that's what it's for. And it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, that doesn't mean that you sin every day. That doesn't mean that at all. But from time to time, we're in a life where there's temptations, where there's a tempter and bad things. And this church, this letter was written to Christians. In chapter 2, he calls them my little children. But he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But on the other hand, if we confess our sins, now this is letter is written to believers, not the lost. If we confess our sins, to who? Well, to the Lord. To the Lord of communion. We confess to him if we have a problem, privately. It's not anything where we need to expose, but privately. We have a moment, we have time, we make an altar, we get our hearts ready. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and has a legal right or just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from our sins. I want to say that the time of communion, when there's confession, what it brings on is a cancellation, not a covering of sin, but a canceling of sin. The covering was in the Old Testament before the Savior came, but he cancels our sin. And not only that, when we confess to him, see, it's a very intimate, private thing. And hear me, believer, tonight. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. You can be sure he's here with you tonight. You don't know God by your feelings. A very famous faith healer said, I don't know God by how I feel. I know God by what his promises are to me. And he has many promises to every one of us here tonight. I remember one time we were having a meeting on the square. We met at the square before we got this building. Emmett Spencer was there, and he was holding a revival. And he had me give a word to everybody that was in there. There was about 130 people there that night. And after that, it was like a breakthrough for me. And I'm telling you, I miss the days when we had a word in tongues come out here. Somebody would interpret it. And I tell you, with all the humility and just encouragement, I could give everybody in here a word. But if people, there has to be hunger. Somebody has to want something. And I have confidence in God and have confidence in the one that's giving it. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he has a legal right to cancel our sins and to cleanse us from our sins. It comes with the fellowship of the Lord and it comes with confession out of your mouth. Lord, I've sinned. We see in the garden, Adam and Eve sinned and they ran and hid themselves from God and they tried to make coverings for themselves to cover themselves. They could feel their sin. They could feel their nakedness. But the right thing to do is to run to God and just have a private moment. And nobody should even want to know what you're talking about to God. That's between you and God. But we have to create that setting. I'm creating that setting right now. And I'm just going a different direction. We're talking about communion. And let me read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 23. And this is Paul speaking to the Corinthian church, which was very lively in power and in sin. They would try anything. But this is what he said. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink of it in remembrance of me. And the power of communion is at this here. When you do your part, when we do our part, the first part, come to him and just take an inventory of our life. And if you haven't done anything wrong, for God's sake, don't make anything up. But after we do that, the power of communion is miracles, healings, the moving of the Holy Spirit, rejuvenation in your life, such as that. For as often as you drink, as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. Or you release the power that comes from communion, that comes from the cross. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread, and just think, just listen, and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, they shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. This is the part I want. Let a person examine himself, and then let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. This is why we have a time when we go, we make an altar, we examine ourselves. And if there's something that shouldn't be in there, you should confess that to the Lord. Why? Because confession brings forgiveness, brings cleansing. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. We don't want that to happen. Not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and some have even died. For if we would, now hear this, if we would judge ourselves, see, if we would just judge ourselves, if we would judge ourselves, we would not have to be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we might not be condemned with the world. How many of you believe in the correction of God in your life? I mean, I sure do. I say this, I've said it a lot. I did my best sinning after I got saved. I was only 19 when I got saved. Yeah. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together, tarry for one another. And if anybody is hungry, let him eat at home, because it's not a time of getting filled up on food. But anyhow, that's what it's all about. You know, what the Lord is saying is, I trust you, you're my child, and if there's something wrong, we're going to handle that. We're going to deal with that. However I can, if I can reason with you as a loving father and get you to start to turn, that starts with your confession, your secret confession between you and God, no one else, and just caring enough about what's happening. I look around here, I've seen lots of miracles in here. I'm thinking about Brenda and Mike. That's a miracle. What a beautiful, beautiful miracle. I'm thinking about Mikey and Kayla. How wonderful. The three babies that God has given you. Now, they may not seem like they're a blessing now, but stick around a little while. It'll get better. But anyhow, you know, I have a wonderful message here. I've entitled this message, Close the Windows and Lock the Doors. But we didn't preach that. When I preached, what I felt was on my heart. Now, this time, if somebody else needs something in here or desires something, but if not, then let us come to the altar or make an altar. Let's examine our hearts because the Word says so. Not a church says so, but the Word says. And then we will, that's why we examine our hearts. And let's have some music up there. And take your time to really get in touch.